Episode 252, July 11th, 2016.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
This is the Rob and Joe Show.
The Dave Chappelle and Louis C.K. of Fire Hall Comedy.
The Rob and Joe Show.
This is the racist Rob and racist Joe Show.
Some of their best friends are black.
The Rob and Joe Show, my two favorite guys.
You're listening to the Rob and Joe Show.
Come on, everybody, let's get to the brainstorming.
I worked with Rob and Joe before, and they do an amazing job.
Go back on that Rob and Joe Show.
The Rob and Joe Show.
Now on with the countdown.
With a combined 73 firings, if you count marriages in the Baltimore Comedy Factory, here's Rob Mayer and Joe Robinson.
Results, folks. Will Chris Restivo come back on the show? We put it to you, the listeners. You have three options: yes, no, and fuck no. 60% came in at fuck no. Only 4% just the regular no. So 64% say no or fuck no. Sorry, Chris. The people have spoken. We'll try again in 5 years.
It's almost like when you don't remember this, but they had a... what was it called, Rob? It's like a contest to get rid of Bob's Big Boy. So that, you know, that boy who holds up the hamburger, he had been the mascot, the spokesman, yeah, the mascot or whatever for decades. You know, it was an old franchise. And I remember Robbie stuffed the ballot box. Do you remember that, Robbie, trying to get rid of him? He thought somehow he was going to be able to singularly get rid of Bob's Big Boy, which he did. He was overwhelmingly asked to stay, Bob's Big Boy.
Yeah, there was no internet voting back then.
It was a reverse Restivo. Sorry, Chris. Did Chris get my on-air apology? Did you ask him about that?
No, I haven't spoken to him. No. You know what? You did apologize. So look, you know, Chris, we'd like to bring you back on, but you know, we're a slave to them.
No, and, right, you know, we have to listen to our listeners. I mean, if they don't want to hear them, yeah, we can't bring them on.
Mike Davis, former producer of It's Mickey, does not like Mike Chamberlain. I believe he called him arrogant. It's funny, a know-it-all. He sort of described Mickey Coachella, so I'm thinking maybe there's some resentment there, some anger for how that ended, and he's bringing it out. He's turning it into his fueling for Mike Chamberlain.
Hey, did you see that Mickey is having some like depression talk at the Baltimore Comedy Factory on Wednesday?
Yeah, it doesn't sound very funny.
No, but he's posting about it. I want you to check out the post because they are the longest posts I've ever seen anybody put on Facebook. It's a serious subject matter, so I don't put my traditional too long didn't read on there. But
right.
The things that are funny to me, first of all, you know, Mick, he's good at this kind of stuff. He'll be very interesting. I mean, I don't know if there's going to be an audience, but if there is an audience, he'll captivate him. I know him. Some of the things that he's saying I find kind of amusing because he's like, you need to hear this. It's almost like what I have to say, you have to hear, right? This is the most important thing you'll ever do. Meaning he's like, what I have to say is the most important thing that you'll ever hear, the things that I'm going to say. Now, he might be right. But I find it very, very, what's the word I'm looking for? I mean, you're setting the bar kind of high.
Chamberlain-like.
You're saying, I'm going to say something that is the most important thing that you'll ever hear.
Yeah, that seems pretty high. But look, if anyone is being real and honest about anything, I mean, I generally find that compelling.
Sure.
And Mickey is a great public speaker. I mean, he's a great comedian. He ought to be able to get some points across. So, but Who's the audience for this?
That's what I'm saying. They're having it at the Baltimore Comedy Factory.
The people that like to laugh at Mickey?
I guess, I mean, is he promoting it on his show on 98 Rock? I mean, I'm not sure, you're right. I don't know. I mean, there are a bunch of depressed people that are going to come and hear about Mickey's depression. By the way, I'm going, by the way.
Oh, you are? Oh, yeah. Sweet. Are you opening?
No, I don't think I'll open.
You're going to close with the by-play closer and then bring up Mickey?
That's right. Everybody goes crazy and up he comes. Now, again, I think it'll be interesting, but I do find those. Check those posts out where he talks about how important what he has to say is going to be, which might be true. I just think maybe, you know, that's you're setting the bar extremely high. That's all.
Yeah. Shout out to one of our listeners, Harry. You are now the owner of a wolf tie, Joe.
It was a little bit, it wasn't scary. Because, by the way, guest 7783 says depressed people don't like to go out. That's true. That's true. It might be a problem. His audience might not want to leave the house. By the way, one other thing before I talk about Harry, he's also selling a video of what you just saw. So meaning if it inspires you so much to get out of your doldrums, you can, you know, you can watch it every once. It's like a wedding video. You know what I mean? You just watch it to feel good. So... Yeah.
Are there going to be like a DVD, like chapters where you can jump ahead from scene? Like, if I want to watch that one part where he's talking about his marriage or something, can I go to that?
I don't know. You have to ask him. You going to come? You going to come to the thing on Wednesday?
I'm going to be in Virginia Beach, Joe.
It's true. So
telling jokes.
What was it? Oh, Harry.
Yeah. Almost everything you say. Stop. Almost everything you say, I can't hear, by the way.
Oh, really?
I don't know if that's a problem for anybody else. Yeah.
You guys having the same problem when I talk?
No, I think Rob's having an issue.
Okay. Well, let's just push through. Maybe it'll make itself right.
Marcus, I can't do it. Do you want to hang up on Rob and call him back?
I can do that if that's what you guys would like to do.
I think we need to disconnect him. Everybody else is okay. It's just Rob is having an issue.
And I'll continue to tell my hairy story.
All right, Rob, take this personally.
So Harry, a tie came to my house, and the tie had a wolf on it. But this person, whoever this was, had my address, right? So I'm like, it can't be like a stalker fan. It's got to be somebody who is familiar with me. And then I forgot about it. I put it in my drawer. I'm like, I'm going to wear the shit out of this thing. And then I forgot about it. And it was probably like 3 days later, right, Rob? And you were like, hey, did you get anything? Did you get a tie? I was like, oh, yeah, that's right, I did. But I think I posted it on Facebook, right? My awesome tie, my wolf tie.
It's a great tie. What he did was he PayPal'd me the money, and then I just bought it and mailed it to you. But I didn't put a card or note on it. So, you would have had no idea of who it was coming from.
Did you?
So, I could see where you'd be confused. But are you going to wear it?
Yeah, of course I'm going to wear it. Are you kidding me? Yes, I'll wear it. I'll wear it tomorrow.
Are you going to tie Katie up with it?
No, I'm going to wear it to Mickey's depression seminar. See if it'll cheer some people up.
It's good to see you're taking it seriously, Jeff. Yeah.
I'm like, I dressed up for the occasion. I wore a tie. I just happened to have an amazing wolf on it.
If you had had that tie for the reunion, would you have worn it?
Yes, of course I would have worn it.
Damn it, because I think he wanted that to happen.
That might not be completely true. Knowing what I know now, I would have worn it. Knowing how much what I was going to see at this reunion, you know what I mean? Right. Looking at the sea of these people, that made me think, yeah, maybe a wolf tie would have been, I've been better served with a wolf tie.
It's good to be back. We double recorded last week. So last week was 4th of July. We recorded that show the Monday before. So we've got basically 2 weeks worth of stories. I was in Albany at the Funny Bone. Joe, you were on vacation with the family in Ocean City for a week. I know you got some stories from that. And I know you have a Walmart story from you and Katie that you told me that I think you need to share.
You want me to start with Walmart?
Yes, please. Well, okay, you know what? Sorry. I can't hear anything you're saying, so you just start with whatever you're going to say.
All right. Well, let me get going. So we were in line. Katie and I were purchasing some things in preparation for our vacation in Ocean City, right? And in line in front of us was a couple, and they had two grocery carts filled to the brim with stuff. Now, I don't know if you guys are like me, but when I see that, all I want to know is, wow, how much did that cost? It's like they even have television shows based on what it costs when you fill up a grocery cart with stuff, right? And I'm like, wow, I really want to know. Well, there was a shorter line next to us. So Katie goes, hey, come over to this line. So we move to the next line, but I go back and I go, hey, I want to know how much your groceries were. Now, the girl right in front of me didn't turn around. I assumed that she didn't hear me, right? So I'm like, okay, no big deal. Buy my groceries. And after it's over, I see this couple sitting over on this bench, right? The couple that bought all the groceries. So I walk over to the guy and the girl, and I go, hey, how much? I want to know how much those groceries were. And the guy goes, I don't know. We're still, apparently the family was with them. There was an older couple, so maybe it was one of their parents. They were still ringing it up. It was so much stuff. The girl goes, why do you care? Like, she took a shit on me. She was pissed off that I was asking about that. Now, Katie thought
that she should have been.
Well, that's what I'm saying. We'll get there. So Katie's like, no, that's completely inappropriate for you to ask them that. I'm like, is it really? I mean, you're buying the groceries. It's not like I'm reaching into your wallet. I can see it. The cart is not, it's transparent. I can see what you're buying. So it is interesting if you bought $1,000 worth of groceries. That's interesting. And of course, when I buy a bunch of groceries, that's like, how much do you think it's going to be? You start adding it up in your head, trying to get as close as you can. It is interesting, and you're not hiding it. But she was extremely... Now, by the way, the guy, who was a normal guy, he wasn't a dick. He goes, oh, we don't know, blah, blah, blah. Because he's like, oh, this is... Okay, I see why somebody would be interested in this. And this girl was like, why do you care? And as soon as she said that, I'm like, boop. Hey, gone. I didn't... Fuck her. I didn't have another word to say to this bitch. As soon as she took umbrage with me wondering how much those groceries were, as soon as I knew she was a bitch, I fucking rolled, okay? Now, as soon as we get in the parking lot,
Why is she a bitch? Why is she a bitch?
Because why do you care? Really? Why are you trying? Here's, by the way, I am being friendly.
You care. Look, if I was in a good mood and you asked me that, and a stranger asked me that, first of all, I'm not answering. But the way I'm going to not answer, I'm going to say, it's too much. You know, as a little ha-ha.
Right. I know, Rob, but that's what...
And then if you ask again, then I'm going to be like, really? Why do you give a shit? I wouldn't tell you.
But she didn't respond. She didn't respond. I didn't know that she had heard me. By the way, no, you wouldn't, Rob. I know you. If you had a giant thing full of groceries and some guy was behind you going, oh, my God, I want to know how much they are, you would get into it, too. You would do the same thing. Don't pretend like you wouldn't. You wouldn't get mad at somebody in the line.
No, I would not tell how much I spent.
Dude, it shows up on... Listen to me, Rob. If I stayed in line, it would have popped up on the screen. It's not a giant secret that nobody can hear. You get to see it. The whole world gets to see it. The only reason I didn't get to find out how much they spent was because I changed lines. And listen, it doesn't bother me that you think that she had every right to be upset about that. It bothers me that you act like that would have bothered you. Because I know you better than I know anybody, pretty much. I know damn well you wouldn't have given a shit.
I wouldn't, not with the tone that she had, but I would... tell you if you kept pressing, because it's obvious she heard you and just ignored you. So now you're asking.
Well, I didn't know that clearly the first time I talked to her. I didn't know that. By the way, the husband was cool. So as soon as she shit on me,
unreasonable, by the way, all you to think she might have just didn't want to answer, so she didn't. She just pretended not to hear you.
Well, no, that's probably what happened. What I'm saying is, Rob, you would have said what you told me. You would have said this time is what you would have said. You would have said, oh my God, too much. I don't even want to talk about it.
That's what I would have said.
But you wouldn't have been a dick. You would have been like, mind your own fucking business. You wouldn't have said that. Because again, you're not buying these on Amazon so no one can see and they're being delivered to your house in brown paper.
But she didn't say mind your own fucking business. She said, why do you care?
Why do you care is as bad as mind your own business?
No,
Marcus,
it's not.
And Rob,
it's a legitimate question. Why do you care?
So you think she just said, oh, I wonder why this guy cares so much. No,
she was angry, but yes. I think that's not as angry as saying mind your own fucking business.
Listen,
Robbie,
mind
Marcus,
your own business and why do you care is the exact same thing.
No, I would had to have heard her tone, but the way Joe is selling it, it just sounds the same. Like it's a call just telling Joe to fuck off.
Well, I was the only one there in this conversation, but Katie agrees with Rob. Katie agrees. Katie thinks that, and so does Rob, that I was the one that was really overstepping my bounds. Now, what were they paying with food stamps? You know what I'm saying? Nobody, they're not paying with a WIC card and buying $3,000 worth of groceries. So, I mean, it's, again, they're just, she's just a, by the way, she was also a big fat redneck. So that means she should be
weren't
nice.
Weren't they like fat people? No, they were fat, so they probably were self-conscious. Are you saying they're buying a lot of junk food or something?
No, come on. That's a stretch.
Boy, think of these fat people. You love food.
That's a stretch.
I think they're sensitive.
Unless you're a dumbass. And they didn't, by the way, the way that they spoke, I didn't think they were, you know, special, right? They know that it's interesting that people have that much groceries. By the way, I need an objective opinion. I need Marcus and Robbie to weigh in. Was I way out of bounds? If I was, I was.
I don't think so.
Marcus?
Oh, absolutely.
So this is Katie in chat, obviously. She said, Joe left out a huge detail. they were fat and definitely thought he was making fun. Okay, I don't think that's true, but I can't discount it. So if that's what they thought I was making fun of him, I'm telling you, I don't see that.
But Joe, the way they reacted backs up how Katie saw it.
There's a family of four. They had all kinds of stuff in there, that, you know, lawn chairs and shit. I mean, okay, maybe. But I think that's a stretch. I just think she was a bitch. That's all.
I once complimented a big, giant, fat guy on his Redskins shirt. And I was being sincere. But he definitely thought I was making fun of him.
Did you say nice quadruple X?
Yeah. You must really love the Redskins, because that's a quadruple X jersey. Yeah, why would that doesn't make sense? Look, I mean, Joe, you know, you can, we do call you affectionately, call you a dick. So I mean,
yeah,
it's
no, I know that
people could to get that vibe.
Oh,
without
no,
knowing.
Yes, I get that. But what I'm doing is asking you guys, was that? What? Listen, if I go up to you guys, a couple, and I'm like, yeah, have you guys made out? Have you had to? Yes, I'm being a dick. I am. But I know that I am. But if I'm literally just trying to kind of be like, hey, we're in this world together. We're in Walmart preparing for our vacation. Something interesting is going on with you. You know what I'm saying? And by the way, I before that happened, the guy at my counter, his name was Dorito. I actually posted it on Facebook. But I had some fun little back and forth with that guy. And that guy was perfectly cool. You know what I'm saying? These guys received me a different way. And believe me, I know when I'm purposely just going up there and I'm just being an a-hole. I mean, I know that. But in this case, I really thought that we were kind of in this together. You know, and I really did. Like, they were going to be like, yeah, I wonder how much that's going to be. But instead, and I also think it was just her, just that fat bitch. That's the only one that I think it was who took umbrage.
I don't think everyone does that, Joe. Not everyone is, we're always asking questions and playing games and having little bets and doing hypotheticals. I mean, that's just what we do. But
yeah, but
most,
I'm not saying
not,
everybody,
not everybody thinks
it.
That way.
No, I get it.
She may just think it's no one's business what you bought or what I bought. And that's just her normal way of thinking, which is fine. There's nothing wrong with that. That's a reasonable thing to think.
But not it not being your business.
No one's business what I spend on my groceries.
I understand that. But if you see, let's say you're in line and you're with Tawanda, and Tawanda goes to a little girl in front of her in the basket in the car, go, oh, what's your name? And the mother goes, none of your business. Well, it's true. It is none of your business, but she's also a bitch. You follow what I'm saying? It is none of my business. It's not a matter of that. It's a matter of what the fuck's wrong with you that you're just going to, by the way, I would never confront somebody in that way aggressively like that I'd never met before. I wouldn't do that.
Right.
And me, look, you guys may affectionately call me a dick, but I genuinely like and engage people. This bitch, I guarantee you, she is a miserable person. This fat Walmart bitch, I guarantee she's miserable. Still don't know how much those groceries were.
What was your guess at how much that they were?
Dude, it was probably, I mean, hold on. Hey, Katie.
It was over $1,000 for sure.
Oh, it was a ton. I'm going to see what Katie says.
No, now I'm
here. Hey, Katie, are you out there?
Hey, Katie. Hey, Katie.
Is that me? she's obviously not listening. I thought she was.
All right. Well, let's move on, because I know
here she comes.
I know.
How much do you think the groceries were? Hold on. How much do you think the groceries were? What? No way. All right. See, now she's just trying to stick it to me.
$300. $300. That's the big story.
It was two grocery carts filled with groceries.
Yeah.
You thought it was $300?
Yeah.
Okay.
What do you think?
I mean, I thought it was two completely full grocery carts, top to the bottom.
Of cereal and hot dogs and stuff like that from Walmart.
All right, I guess it's $300.
What was in the carts?
Hey, she's right, by the way, that it's not interesting if it's $300. So maybe I'm wrong.
Yeah. What was in the carts? Did they have steaks?
Dude, I don't even remember at this point.
Groceries,
I mean, at this point, it was 10 days ago.
They were fat. It had to be pints of ice cream.
There's a lot of stuff in there. Yeah, I mean, but again, I didn't.
They could have had a lot of generic 2-liter bottles of soda.
My intentions,
that cost like 99 cents.
My intentions are good, so I'm not looking to see how much shit they're buying. You know what I mean? Meaning, not
look.
Stuff,
it sounds like
shit,
Katie
like
has the right grasp of what happened here.
I mean,
so
if
I'm
I was a gambling man, I would definitely say Katie knows more than I know about the value of things. She does more grocery shopping than I do. But I
would
definitely
she do better than you on Price is Right?
I don't know about that. That's a different animal.
What's that? What it's the, that is
because that's
the,
a game.
The value
that's
of
not
things.
The life. That's not reality. That's a game.
Okay. I want to hear your Graham story. I know the listeners love of the Gramps.
God, Gramps was, he probably doesn't even know this, but he couldn't have been more out of control this week. The first thing that he did was he was telling us a story about the work that he does. Now, for those of you who don't know, Gramps is an insurance salesman, and he's been an insurance salesman for about 90 years, okay? He goes into the deepest depths of inner city Baltimore and sells these people insurance, life insurance. Okay, that's what he does.
A long time ago, it was in D.C.
Yeah, and then somewhere around, I guess, 80, he moved to Baltimore to become a manager. Was that in 80, Robbie?
It was late 70s, early 80s.
Yeah. So anyway, he told me that he says to his clients. Now, you got to think, this is completely innocent, but I try to explain Gramps that you can't really do this. Remember, his clientele is 99% African-American, okay? And he says right. that he, when he's talking to a client, he says he makes an appointment with them, right? And he goes, now listen, if you don't show up, I'm going to whip you. He tells his clients he's going to whip them.
God.
I said, Dad, you can't do that. He goes, yeah, no, it's not. They like it. It's not a problem. They think it's hilarious. They can't all think. You think I don't know what I'm talking about the grocery cart? I got to be more accurate than he is about whipping his clients. Am I right about that?
Of course you're right about that. I mean,
he also says,
first of all, it's not funny. So they either are offended by it or they just think nothing of it.
He also says he'll pull up to like there's some lady sitting on her stoop. Okay. And he's like, hey, can I talk to you about insurance? And she's like, no, thanks. And he's like, oh, because I'm supposed to sell insurance to every good looking woman on this block. I'm not kidding. That's what he says to her.
Does this mean that when you're a white male in a relationship with an African-American woman that you can't have S&M?
Or is this directed towards me, Marcus Serna?
I have a feeling it's directed toward you, yes.
If you try to do that, would that be an issue? Would there be a racial issue?
I don't know, because I've never... I don't think so, no. I mean, maybe if I wanted to do that right away, that might be an issue, because she'd be thinking like, what?
Right, at this point, you're right.
This is weird. But at this
Tawanda?
Point, no. But if like the first time we have sex, I try to do that. Hey, can I whip you? That probably would be weird. But that's probably weird with anybody the first time. You might just think the guy's weird and some perverted thing. Not, he might have this... a little more sadistic reason for it.
Maybe you pulled out some rope, started to make some knots so you could tie her down.
Yeah, I mean, I have no desire to do that. I mean, I don't understand why. It seems like work to me. Why do I want to tie you down? I don't even understand the whole concept of S&M. I mean, I get the people who are into it, like Joe Robinson, but I'm like, I don't have it. That just seems like work to me. I don't want to tie anybody down. I don't want to be tied.
Katie says in chat that telling his clients that he's going to whip them is the exact same thing as the grocery cart. If it is, man, I'm not self-aware. If it's the same thing as that, yeah, I gotta do some more self-reflection. So another thing Gramps did was he tells stories about, you know, the debit, you know, that's what it's called. That was when he used to walk. It was his geography within the inner city that he could walk and sell insurance. It's called the debit. That's right. So now, first of all, the story I remembered is one time my brother and I, we were small children. I think, Robbie, you might have been 10. I was probably 8. Does that sound about right? When we went into that little, it wasn't a deli. It was like a little hamburger joint.
Yeah, it was.
And
like
of course, I'm young. Right, it's like a sub shop, and I'm really young, so I don't really know, like, that people are different. You know what I mean? I don't understand that. But I know my father. I've known him for 8 years, and my father goes, hey, we're going to go into my friend's, sub shop, and we go in there, and my father, who talked like I'm talking right now, all of a sudden, he became black. I'd never heard it before. He's like, hey, what's up? And he starts doing a black dialect. Now, of course, I mean, I'm like, what's going on here? Like, I didn't really even understand it until like 5 years later when I remembered that. And then I said, oh, yeah, that's right. You became that black guy. And that's just like the whipping. I mean, are you offended when all of a sudden I'm talking to you and I change the way that I speak because you're black?
Well, I think black people speak differently to white people than they do when they're just around each other. I mean, I think that's just sort of a little normal. I think people speak differently when they're around. I think black people speak differently to white people at work than they do when they're at home amongst other black people.
Well, that's the same thing my father did. So,
but he's putting on a voice that's not real for him.
Yes.
Everyone has a little bit different of a professional voice versus just at home.
No, you're right. I mean, when I was in front of my parents when I was a kid, I didn't swear. You know what I mean? I waited till I was at school amongst my friends.
Right.
So I guess that's a normal thing. But sure. It was a very culture shock to me when I was a young lad. Here's a story I didn't know. He told us that. By the way, he's just talking to Katie and I, and he said that his manager at the time, when he was working back in the early 70s, he came from Florida and he brought his girlfriend with him, who was a madam, and she brought all her girls with her, and she set up shop in D.C., and my dad used to sell them insurance. Do you know this, Robbie?
Never heard this before.
And he said that's the first time he had ever heard what a golden shower was. He said that one of the ladies said that a congressman would come in and she would have to pee on him, and that he had never heard of that. And that's the story that he told in front of Katie and I.
Now that I'm into. Let's take a break. We'll come back. Albany, Funny Bone, Tommy Simbazo, myself, and Pauly Shore. All kinds of good stories. Rob and Joe, she'll be right back.
Rob Mayer, Joe Robinson, and Die Laughing Productions, the creative geniuses behind The Last Laugh and The Newly Dead Game, come their latest murder mystery spectacular, Sing for Your Life, the new killer karaoke murder mystery from Die Laughing Productions. There's going to be song, there's going to be dance, there's going to be laughs, and there's definitely going to be a murder. If you've got the chops to not only solve a mystery, but to possibly belt out a tune for your fellow audience members and the Die Laughing Productions cast, you could be selected to come on stage and sing during Sing for Your Life from Die Laughing Productions. It's going to be incredible, and there's going to be a limited number of performances, so don't miss it.
Debuting this weekend at Ram's Head on stage in Annapolis. Tickets are on sale right now. For upcoming show dates and more info, please visit DieLaughingProductions.com.
And now back to the Rob and Joe Show.
So Tommy Simbazo and I, friend of the show, comedian, murder mystery star, we were in Virginia Beach in March doing some shows. We did the murder mystery down there, and I was with Pauly Shore. And if you guys remember, Pauly was not very friendly. I didn't say that. He wasn't talkative. He didn't allow us in the green room. At the very end of the weekend, he did come out downstairs to the bar area. We had a few words, pleasantries, and he took a picture. So it ended on a positive note. And then I heard from the manager that Pauly liked me. Well, fast forward here to July. We're at the Albany Funny Bone, and Pauly shows up. He remembers. He recognized. He doesn't know from where, but he asked me. And so we're having a little conversation. And we go in the green room, and we're like, do you want some privacy? He's like, no. So now we're allowed in the green room. It's a whole different thing. And he's talking to us. He loves basketball. He can't stop talking about LeBron James. And
that surprises me that he doesn't look like the kind of person that would love basketball.
It's my wheelhouse. But every time it was weird because because he was basically just saying the same things over and over. He'll say something, and then he'll go, right? It'll be something obvious, like, it's LeBron, man. He's, like, amazing, right?
Maybe he thought he's like awesome. The kind of person Cleveland. That liked basketball.
No, because at one point I had baseball, and he goes, baseball's boring. And I'm like, yeah, football's probably my favorite sport. He goes, even better than basketball? And I'm like, yeah, football is probably my favorite. So he couldn't fathom that basketball couldn't be your favorite. Because I kept trying to – I was like, well, you're in L.A. Like, the Rams are in move there. Are you going to root for them? I don't know, man. Hey, Toronto's going to be good again. We're talking about basketball again. I'm like, okay, we're back to basketball.
I don't even know if I know three players on Toronto.
No, we're talking about players. Yeah, I mean, who went where with free agency and the contracts that they're signing. And, you know, Tommy has nothing to add to this. But
did Tommy just leave?
Then Pauly's like, Tommy said nothing. And then Pauly says that he's got, he's making a documentary about his life because it's going to be about like this the 3 decades basically of my life that was like important, the 70s, 80s, and 90s. I've got all these interviews and all this footage. You know, it's probably like 4 hours long right now. I'm going to have to narrow it down, but maybe I won't. Anyway, you know, tomorrow night I'll bring you my iPad and you can see some clips of it. So we're like, sure. We're like, do you have a name for it? And he goes, I don't know, maybe like Paulie's Fun Times. And I'm like, okay. And I said, well, all right, I'll try to think of a name. So the next day, Tommy and I are like, oh, this documentary is going to be horrible, right? It can't be any good. So let's try to convince him to name it something shitty. So let's give him a name, like sell it like it's a good name to convince him to name it that. So Tommy comes up with Paulie Shore Beats Your Life. So this is a cheesy little play on words. So we have every intention of looking at this DVD, the clips he's going to show us, and then tell him, you know what, you got to name it this, and then try to convince him. So he gets there. We're like, hey, you got the iPad? He goes, yeah. This is I'm going to fast forward to this part about meeting, going to the Playboy Mansion, and we watch this thing. I have his two stories, something about the Playboy Mansion, and then something about this model that he dated and that they broke up, and it was fucking awesome.
Oh, really?
You know, yes.
As soon as you said you thought it was going to be bad,
really
I'm like,
good.
This doesn't sound like it would be bad. It sounds like it would be good. Because, you know, he's lived a great life.
Yeah. Yes. It's him talking about it like, I don't know, maybe it'd be 4 hours, whatever. I don't even think like that. It doesn't make you think that it's going to be good in terms of the quality and the production and the care it took to make it. Obviously, he's got stories that are interesting. But the thing that made it really interesting, he filmed everything. So he has a story about this playmate that he dated, and she's giving her side of the story too. And there's all these footage of them together back then. And she has an abortion, and she didn't want to, but she didn't want, she knew he didn't want to have a kid. And
oh
then
my
she
God.
Found a sex tape with him, another woman, and they broke up. He took her to the airport, and they have all this footage of this happening. And then they got music to it. It was like really good. And I was like, okay, I'd watch this. I want to hear more. I want to see more. So that's the good. The bad is he does this when he eats. it was good, man. And Tommy has, he keeps walking out. He can't listen to it.
What is he eating?
Well, the first time it was they had some mac and cheese that he had. He didn't care for that. It was gross, man. And the next night he had some chicken that they ordered from some other restaurant. And Tommy's like, he can't deal with it. And he says to me, is he testing us?
See if he'll stay.
Because you know that this guy hung out with comedians. And comedians, they say shit. They don't just, they'll say what they're feeling, thinking. Someone had to have said to him, dude, why do you eat like that? So how could he still be doing
this? He's like a regular stand-up, like they just pout around with a lot of other stand-ups. I mean, because I got to imagine, because remember his mom was, look, I don't think Paulie Shore, I'm not saying he doesn't have merit. You know, obviously, I mean, I know right. kind of people make a joke out of his movies and stuff like that, but this guy made himself into a household name, okay? He's still doing stand-up right now. It's not like he's just some fucking turd, you know what I mean? But I also know that he was part of this, he was a spawn of comedy royalty, so I don't really see him kind of be like the everyman that, like, you know, hung out in the back with all the other comics. Do you follow what I'm saying? He started out with his star shining bright, correct?
Yeah, but you would think that he's had plenty of dinners with people that would say, look, dude, you got it. Somebody would have said something. It would drive you crazy. I'm not exaggerating it. It's very disgusting and annoying.
Rob,
I don't know how someone wouldn't have said something. Now, maybe he just doesn't care.
He's been on Howard Stern a bunch of times, and his list of conquests, Robbie's going to know it better than I am, than I do, but like he's banged some of the hottest chicks in Hollywood. I know he banged Alyssa Milano, right, Robbie?
I got to be honest with you. I really kind of tune out a little bit when he's being interviewed.
But that's what's fascinating about him, though, is you know, what he was,
well,
what he was able
had
to
a
pull.
Story on. Well, that's part of the documentary. I mean, one of the stories is him that he showed us is hanging out with the Barbie twins at the Playboy Mansion that he had. He had a room in his house when he was younger where he had all these posters, centerfolds from Playboy posted on the wall. And he would just sit there and just jerk off. And then his friends would come in and they'd have circle jerks. I mean, it's just ridiculous, right?
That is.
But right? Tommy does a great impression of him. So Tommy.
Yeah, I thought it was him when he was doing the ball.
Yeah, so I'll fast forward to that. We're driving home. And Eric Woodworth and Dylan Meyer, other guys from the murder mystery that we'll get to in a second, that they're driving home in a separate car. And Eric, Mike's really into Snapchat, and Tommy's into Snapchat, and Pauly Shore's into Snapchat, which we'll get to that in a second, too. So Tommy just keeps doing impressions and putting Pauly's face in his face and talking like him. So then he takes his – pulls his pants down. He takes his balls. He writes like an I on each one, and then he shoots a video calling himself Pauly Shore. And he's like, this is Pauly Shore, man. You're not going to see the weasel. He sends it to everybody. And I think it could be a character. I don't know if you're allowed to have your balls like that, Al, but I feel like that could be a character, Pauly Shore.
You mean he could get huge on YouTube?
Yeah, like at Pauly Shore. That's a Snapchat or whatever. He could have a whole character where he's just telling stories, talking as Pauly Shore, but talking about just the things that his balls experienced.
He needs to put Saturday that headband night on his balls because it doesn't look like Pauly Shore. It sounds like Pauly Shore.
Well, Tommy's considering letting some hair grow there to make it look better.
It's going to take a while, man.
Like Pauly Shore. He's actually considered. Yeah, well, he commits. So Saturday night, Pauly's like, yeah, there's this porn star that I knew from back in the day. She's going to be here tonight, but she looks like garbage now. Her name's Gina Fine, G-I-N-A-F-I-N-E. We go on, Google Images, and she looks like kind of like Kris Jenner looks like. And
Kris so Jenner
the whole night, Tommy's like, all right, is she here? Yeah. This is what I mean. Back in the day, that's what she looked like when she was in the 80s, when she was a porn star. It's saying that she's looks like garbage now. So we're trying to figure out who she is in the audience. Well, at the end of the show, they come out and it's like, oh, that's her. And she didn't look like she just looked like she has a real deep voice. Hey, how you doing? My name is Gina, you know. So Tommy sees her. He goes, oh, Gina Fine, big fan, real creepy, big fan. And he's like, oh, good for you. Here's my son. So her son is there after Tommy's just basically implied that he's jerked it to the mom a million times. And then the guy's like, hi. Tommy's like, good luck with that. It was super. Then Saturday night, the shows are over. Pauly wants to go to New York City. This is where in Albany, it's 2.5 hours away. He, the night before, went out after the show into the bar area, took his phone out, and just started asking people who wants to drive him to New York City Saturday night. I'll give you gas money. Some guy's like, yeah, I'll do it. So this guy on Saturday night at midnight is going to drive 2.5, 3 hours to New York City and then turn around and come back for gas money. I think... because what ended up happening is this guy's 8-month pregnant wife went with him.
Oh, my God.
She's thinking, oh, my husband's going to go out with Pauly Shore. They're going to get into some trouble in New York City. Well, if I go, that shit ain't happening. So, because you know that, I mean, I've never been pregnant, but I can't imagine that's what you want to do 8 months pregnant is have a 6-hour car ride from midnight to 6 a.m. I don't think that's what you want.
I can't
believe. So I'm just guessing she had to have done that as a preemptive thing.
I can't believe that Pauly Shore wants to be in a car with a fan that he never met before for 2.5 hours. That's what
he said.
I can't
he's done it before. We were like, we're going to get murdered, dude. He's not done it before, man. It's gone.
Well, yeah,
cool,
I mean,
bro.
As long as he's alive.
If you go on his Snapchat, he has video of it the whole time. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean, as long as he's alive, you realize that he wasn't murdered the last time until the guy murders him. By the way, I bet you both of them were miserable. Probably more so the fan. Because the fan is like, you know, this is going to be crazy. I'm going to have these great stories. He's probably asleep the whole time while he drives him to, you know, while he drives him to New York City.
Who do you think was in the back seat, Pauly Shore or the 8-month pregnant wife?
Well, the fact that you asked it, I guess it was the wife, but I would have assumed it would have been Pauly.
Of course, she's in the back, uncomfortable. Now, you're curious of whether this guy had a good time or not. Well, we have a way of finding out, Joe, because Pauly had Tommy call this guy Saturday night to confirm that he was coming, but he didn't want to call from his phone because he didn't want this guy to have his phone number. So Tommy called this guy. Talk to him. So Tommy Cimbazzo has this guy's phone number.
Oh, we're going to call this guy. Robbie, yes. Get that number from Tommy and we'll call him next week, right?
Yes. That's what we'll do. Another story. Tommy and I, we're going to go out to lunch. I see this place. It's got good reviews. Sounds like a place that's got some local color, you know, not chain. It's called Grandma's Pies and Restaurant. Well, that sounds good, right? Grandma's Pies.
Makes of course.
Some good home-cooked meals. So Mike, this is where we're going. Going, Tom. He goes, okay. We go in there. Probably the next oldest person. We're 20 years younger than everyone else in there. I don't know if it was like this because 4th of July just ended, but I counted at least 20 American flags just from where I was sitting. I could see. not to mention other sort of decorations and balloons and stuff. Tommy goes into the bathroom, and there's a newspaper article in there with a review of the restaurant. What year do you think the newspaper was from?
Okay. I mean, it's going to be outrageous since I'll say 1989.
56.
1979. That's the review of the restaurant. We're 30 years before Yelp or whatever. So
that's where we go. Was it a positive review?
It was a positive review. And
what do they say they like the best? The pies?
I don't know if he read it. I think he just saw the the article, the date on it. But the food, not good at all. Not even the fucking pie. I mean, I've had better frozen Sara Lee pie than this Dutch apple pie.
You went apple?
Yeah, I was very disappointed. I went apple. Yeah, I guess I didn't go. I didn't go black. No, I didn't. She didn't ask, and it pissed me off. So I didn't even. You know, if you're not going to ask, forget you. You know? I had a Caesar salad that she recommended with chicken on it, and it was gross. It was very oily. How can anyone like this?
You should have read the review from 1979 and saw what they thought was good and ordered that.
Yeah, no, I'm sure everyone in there is just eating. The soup was good, which is probably good because that's their clientele is 84-year-old people.
Yeah, they can't chew.
Other thing, right, we're driving up and Tommy mentions this Pokemon Go app. I know nothing about Pokemon. I know nothing about this app. And he says, yeah, you can catch Pokemon. I'm like, okay, I'm not interested. I'm thinking this is some Tommy weird thing.
Right.
We get to Albany. We go to the club. Everyone's talking about it. We go to Dave and Buster's. This hot chick's our waitress. Hey, you guys doing the Pokemon thing? I'm like, is it fucking me? Everyone is doing this. He kept mentioning it, and I was the weird one for not knowing what a Pikachu is or a Chewbacca or whatever.
My kids were running around Ocean City, but they were not alone. As a matter of fact, they went out to the beach because apparently you have to travel over a large space in order to find these different Pokemons. So they went out to the beach.
Yeah.
And there was like 1,000 people out there. Everybody's just running around grabbing Pokemons.
It's ridiculous.
It's pretty fascinating, though. Basically,
Tommy keeps saying there's a Pokemon gym there. And then you said it before the show, Joe. I don't know what a Pokemon gym is. I don't know what that means. How do you know what
that
means?
I don't know what it means either, but I assume it's where people go to train their Pokemon. But basically, they take real landmarks and they make them into these different things. It's pretty amazing technology that they can do this, but they basically, what's it called? Global mapping, Marcus will know, but where they basically just put a grid over the world, you know, because they keep you out of the street too. It's not like, you know, you're going to walk in the middle of the ocean, there's going to be a Pokemon there. No. Here's a funny story real quick. You know, Dustin, who's done the murder mystery with us a couple times, Dustin is a very large man. He's probably the biggest man I know.
Yes.
Do you know anybody bigger than Dustin?
No.
So he told me that he's playing it, but like there's these eggs, and like one, it's a 10-kilometer egg. So meaning you have to walk 6.4 miles to open this egg. And what he does is he drives it. He puts the thing out the window and he drives it in order to open the eggs.
There was a news story today that people are being robbed. They're using the Pokemon Go app in order to wait for people at certain locations and then mug them.
I mean, if there's going to be like a Pokemon, they wait till they get there. But you can go anywhere where people are going to be. Oh, I see, because they're like isolated areas.
And they know where you're going to be going.
Like a parking lot. Yeah, wow.
And they're going to be looking at their phone and not noticing you come behind them and taking their wallet. Yeah, it's a smart idea. We're the minority here. Apparently, everyone does this. I thought that was for little girls that did this. I had no clue.
Everyone that we saw down there, we were definitely in the minority. People at my work were playing it. Yeah, it's gigantic. And honestly, if you think about these fads, for a fad, it's not that bad because you're actually moving around. You know what I mean? They thought the Wii was going to change the world, you know, because you got to be active, but then you realize it's just shit. But then this thing is different. People are literally, there was a guy running because he's trying to open an egg. He had to run 3.2, he had to run a 5K to open this egg.
I tweet some funny things occasionally on Twitter, and I generally get almost no response. The other night, 11:21 p.m., I tweet, I've severely underestimated how much people love Pokemon. It's not that funny of a statement. I have 26 retweets and 61 likes for that.
Well, you did underestimate it. By the way, speaking of video games, I spent Saturday with Katie, and I spent Saturday at the Schlegels. And he has, do you know what an Oculus virtual reality headset is, Marcus? You'd be the only guy, I guess, to know that.
Yeah, yeah, it's the newest and biggest thing.
This thing, he put it on Katie. And then you put headphones on, so literally your entire surroundings is whatever is within this game. And she has a flashlight right in one hand. And by the way, when he handed her the controller, you see from the side of the screen that somebody's handing you a gun. And then somebody's handing you a flashlight.
Oh my God.
And she starts flashing down there. Next thing you know, from about 50 yards away, this zombie comes crawling up this pipe. And of course, she's trying to shoot it. And then one's coming behind her and she flings it off her head. She starts freaking out because it literally looks like you're fighting real zombies in this zombie universe.
Right.
It was amazing. There was this other thing he had where you could paint, but in 3D. So, and you could do stars and smoke, not just necessarily lines or anything like that. Rob, you go crazy with something like this. But Justin, he painted himself into like this fireball because you can paint with fire. And he did these broad strokes and he painted himself inside of this ball. Then he stepped outside of it. And then you can see the outside. I mean, what they can do is amazing. And it also surprises me that this Pokemon game, but I guess it is pretty sophisticated considering that they've mapped the globe. But this thing, this is the next, people aren't going to be able to play regular video games once they see what this thing can do. You just walk into this other dimension and you're literally, I mean, Call of Duty is one thing. Now you're literally in you're fighting inside of that world.
The way we look at like Atari 2600 now is the way people are going to look at PlayStation 4. In like 20 years.
Probably not even 20 years, to be honest with you. Based on ridiculous. What I just
How
saw.
How can people play that?
Oh, another thing that he has is he has a game where you scale a mountain. And basically somebody actually did it and they created the thing where you can, you know, you walk up and down a mountain. Wow. Now, he had to, I said, what happens if you step off the mountain? Well, nothing happens, but it's hard to do. So, I mean, you'll step off into, like, this abyss, but your legs are shaky. You can do it, but it's almost like in the, Indiana Jones was it, where they had to throw the sand over that because there was an invisible
bridge,
that's it, thanks, over the thing. That's what it was like. But anyway, it was amazing. Can't imagine what it cost, the amount of money I don't have.
Let's take a break and come back. Big murder mystery week for us. And apparently Justin needs to do these to pay for the Oculus 16,000. Robin Joe, she'll be right back.
Hey, it's Justin from the Justin Scott and Spiegel Morning Show. You may remember me from my critically acclaimed role as Bucky in Death of a Dentist. Well, my next star turn will be in a show called The Newly Dead Game, another original, hilarious, interactive comedy whodunit from the minds of Rob and Joe. Imagine, you're in a TV studio at a taping of the very popular game show Clash of Couples. I'll have a starring role, and if you're very, very lucky, you might play a part too. You might even be the murderer. It's going to be incredible, and there's going to be a limited number of performances, so don't miss it.
Next performance July 16th at Brightbox Theater in Winchester. For upcoming show dates and more info, please visit DieLaughingProductions.com.
And now back to the Rob and Joe Show.
We debuted our murder mystery in Albany on this past Sunday night. They did like a giveaway where we sold over 100 tickets, but they also had like a three-hour window where they just gave them away. They over gave away. It was too money. That 200 people said yes. So they ended up having like 250 plus people. It was packed. One of the biggest shows we've ever had. And it was a great show in the regard that they laughed and they had a good time and we had some cool people. Excuse me. But it was also a bad show in the sense that there was kids too. We have this one portion where it's a game show. It's like the Newlywed Game. And these two audience members, these two couples from the audience are playing them. They're part of it. And it's not a real game, so there's no reason to cheat. So when the man is guessing, he really has very little chance of getting his answers right because they're hard. Maybe normally they get one out of four right, maybe two. Both couples got four out of four. So they're both cheating. which is pissing me off because there's no all it's doing is hurting the production because it's built into the plot.
I always do the when I go up and ask the questions of it, either me or Katie. So that was kind of a new experience to you where you had to ask the questions. I always say, hey, this isn't a real game show. It's funnier if you get them wrong. I always say that. You can't win anything because there. We only had it happen one time where somebody was an idiot, and that was when we went to Winchester. But that's a real thing that I knew to guard against because people are, they're morons.
Yeah, well, this was the first time I was doing all that. You weren't there, and clearly I didn't coach them well enough. Also, we have – there's four car poster board with their answers on it. They're numbered 4, 3, 2, 1. So one is at the bottom. So four is at the top. So when I answer the first question, one woman, she flips up four. And I'm like, no, how are you screwing this up? Then I, in my mistake, I introduced couple number one, but I called them couple number three's names. And then I did it again. Now, they were both black couple, so I just made a joke. They look alike, which is a little racist, but I got to laugh. But we kept having these little screw ups. There's this portion where we're walking around and we're just asking the people are trying to guess who the killer is, and you're allowed to ask you questions of the cast. And I'm talking to these people and they're asking questions. This woman right behind stands up, waves me over, and I'm like, "Ma'am, I'm talking to them. Oh, right now. I'm like, ma'am, I'll be right there." I walk over. She says, "Do you do birthday shout outs?" I'm like, what? This is some murder mystery. It's not. She goes, "Well, will you do a birthday shout out? It's her birthday." And I look at this woman and she's shaking her head no. And I said, "Well, she's saying no." And the woman goes, "No, it is her birthday." "No, no, I believe you, but she's saying she doesn't want a shout out." And she's, "Well, are you going to do it?" "Ma'am, it's her birthday. She's saying she doesn't want this. It's her birthday. I'm going to do what she says because it's her birthday." She goes, "Well, you should give her a shout out." "Look, are you not? It's her birthday. She gets to decide. So no, I'm not giving her a shout out. If she wants one, she'll tell me." And the woman was mad at me. I'm like, "Look, bitch, she doesn't fucking want this. She's 45 years old. She's not a kid. This is what she wants."
Who was worse, the woman who wanted to give that girl a birthday shout out or the girl who wouldn't tell me how much her groceries cost?
No, this is the birthday shout out. Girl's the worst because first of all, she clearly sees me talking. She insists on interrupting for this urgent thing that I'm supposed to, in the middle of our play, basically give a shout out to someone's birthday. I mean, who the fuck does that, right? And then when I point out to her that the woman who the birthday it is doesn't want this, and that you should win, and that should be the end of the argument because it's her birthday, she decides what she wants, that she's still pressing me. So I hate that woman. Sorry, I got that out of my system. This week, though, we have debut Sing for Your Life, singing karaoke one in Annapolis at the Rams Head this Friday night. Then Saturday, we head to Winchester to the Newly Dead game again there. New venue, Bright Box Theater, super cool venue in downtown, Old Town Winchester. And then Sunday, Sing for Your Life back Virginia Beach at the Funny Bone. So three nights, three different venues. First time we've done that. Had three. Have we had three? No, we had three in a row.
Once, back to back, but not. We did have three in a row. I don't think
over
so.
Over Valentine's Day.
Oh, you're right. We did.
Maybe we did, but they were all the same. So this is the first time mixing it up. Different cast members. Tommy basically played the role of Justin, and he killed it. I couldn't have been more happy how he did. He was amazing. So shout out to Tommy Simmazzo. And again, dielaughingproductions.com. Get those tickets for this weekend. Is that all?
That's it.
All right, guys. We will. We'll talk to you next week. Sorry, Mr. Chris Restivo. Maybe next year.
Later.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.